Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
We're back for another Oh wait, there's a mysterious voice.
Who's it? There's an intruder in my studio.
The call is coming from inside the house.
The call is coming from inside the podcast. No, that's not an intruder. That's our guest.
Oh, we have a guest on the Not a Thing podcast? What are the odds?
The odds are pretty good. This is 4 for 4, I think. Three for three. Soon to be 4 for 4.
Oh, here, here. I like it. We're giving the listeners what they want, whether they actually want it or not.
they want it.
Oh, I haven't done enough of the market research to know if they actually want it or not. But we certainly like having guests on, and so we're happy to have on. Well, Brendan, I'll let you introduce him since he's technically closer.
Since I'm actually looking at him right now instead of looking at nobody. So yeah, welcome to the podcast, Garen O'Brien, Lord Regent and Composer.
Thank you very much, sir. It's good to be here, bro.
Co-creator of the Not a Thing podcast theme.
Oh yeah. That was one of my favorite compositions. That's here.
Absolutely one of my favorites. I mean, I think it's nice to have this one right up next to last week's, where we had Skylar on, who created the logo for the Not a Thing podcast. So it's like we're getting, you know, the band back together or something.
Yeah.
The brain trust has been assembled.
Yeah. Logical order of things.
Yeah. Excellent. So, Garen, well, we've already heard your work, but what is your thing? What do you bring to our fine show today?
Well, I'm a musician first and foremost, so besides, you know, making your theme, I do a lot of other projects. I have a metal project and a hip-hop project and an electronic project I'm all involved in, and some of it's good and some of it sucks, but, you know, that's pretty much what I do.
But you're making it, right?
Making it, man.
And that's I mean, I think that's completely admirable, whether you actually think it sucks or not. I mean, it's cool just that you're doing it. I mean, are you putting it out in the world, or is it all just kind of stuff you're working on?
Oh, you bet. It's all out there for the world to hear and see, baby.
Is it on SoundCloud?
It's on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have about 10,000 plays for the hip-hop project right now. NorCal Hi-Fi Alliance, and we do shows around here from time to time.
They're good live. Any listeners who get the chance to see NHA live, it is an experience to be sure.
It's much like Disney World, except, you know, better and more adult.
Yeah, more adult-oriented.
You don't have to bribe a handicapped person to get in line?
Oh, no.
I mean, you can, but...
You know, handicapped people actually make up about 50% of our listening demographic. Not that many people know that.
Huh.
I didn't know that.
I'm being facetious.
Oh, I thought it was a statistic that I'm perfectly fine with it. I mean, far be it from me to argue with the guest.
Really, Alan, you're okay with handicapped people listening to hip-hop? That's a strong stance.
Oh, I thought we were talking about our show. I just want there to be more than... I just want there to be so many listeners that you can say there's 50% of them.
As long as there's two, that statistic will work.
Statistically significant.
And I'm pretty sure we have at least two.
I hope so.
That's what the numbers say. Numbers don't lie.
Oh, you're right. Just like that 50% number.
Right. Yeah. It's made up 50% of the time.
Touche.
Well, so one of the things about people, about music that people don't realize is that it's so easy to make nowadays. Like, all the tools are there. For probably 3 G's, you can have, like, a studio that'll make things sound as good as, like, the best studio in the late 90s. So it's a really cool thing to be able to see that. Technology become available and people use it, and it results in, it's a double-edged sword, because a lot of musicians can make music easier and get it out there, but then a lot of people think they can make music and get it out there too.
The democratization of the music industry.
Yes.
Thanks, internet.
No, I think I've always been a fan of music that kind of comes from less traditional sources or kind of ones that don't necessarily have or even ones that absolutely don't have like this crazy marketing wing with multiple people in suits that do things. I mean, when I've mentioned it on the show before, I was a DJ in college, KCPR, Cal Poly Radio, and we did, I mean, the sheer amount of music that we would get every week that we would sort through and pick like a few gems out of it that we would add for the week. I mean, just the sheer amount of that versus like the 45 minutes, if that, loop of music that you get from any commercial radio station is staggering. So, you know, I think there's always been kind of an undercurrent of people that are out there making music, and there's, you know, the exposure to that has gone up a lot given that, you know, given the internet. And so I'm a big fan. The internet continues to be a thing.
One day it will be not a thing.
That's probably true. It's probably true. But so like when you say like for $3,000, you can put together, you know, something that would work. Like, can you break that down a little bit more, a little finer?
Sure. Yeah, basically the way it works now is people usually start with a computer. Some people prefer PC, some people prefer Mac. The one I use is just a $600 HP I bought from Best Buy. So there's $600 right there. You need instruments depending on, you know, what you play. And you'll need some kind of audio recording program that usually sets you back a few hundred dollars if you, if you go about purchasing it. And then there's, of course, microphones and other hardware you need, like and effects, like compressors and delay and things like that. And then me personally, I choose to have an isolated sound booth, which works really well, and I did for cheap, which is basically some sound paneling and a mattress and a blanket.
In a closet.
It works great.
No, that's absolutely rad. I mean, Brennan, you've seen my my recording booth that I made out of a laundry cube and some acoustic foam.
your what's in the box recording box?
Yeah, yeah.
That's solid. I like that a lot.
So I did some voiceover in the past, and you know, it's a folding, one of those folding laundry cubes, and I bought like a 3-foot by 3-foot square of acoustic foam at like Guitar Center, and then cut that up and you can stick it in the box. And what's nice is, you know, you stick the microphone in there and then you kind of hold, you have to kind of stick your head in the box and kind of hold a towel over it otherwise to muffle all the sound. But otherwise it's like, you know, for something that fits in, you know, the, like a shopping bag when it's all kind of broken down and folded up. You know, it's not bad. And I think there's a lot of DIY corners you can cut for something like that. But what do you think is the thing someone shouldn't skimp on?
Something you definitely don't want to skip on at all is a good microphone. I can't say that enough. If you get a bad microphone, you're done, man. It's going to come out sounding all fuzzy. And another thing you absolutely have to have is some sort of equalizer. If your voices are sounding too muddy when you record them, you need to be able to fix that. Those two things I would say are absolutely essential. Spend as much money as you can afford on a mic.
Yeah, I've heard that too for just for voice recording, but I'm sure for music recording it's even more important because you have, you know, there's much more of a range of sound that you're pulling in. It would be good maybe to actually pick your brain maybe offline about how the podcast sounds.
You got it, buddy.
I mean offline. Let's not talk about it right now.
you don't want to talk about it like right now?
Well, only because I know it's a little muddy just anecdotally, but yeah.
Okay. Well,
I blame Google.
Okay. There we go. Here. Let's blame all our troubles on the compression software and the fact that we're recording, from
like 100 miles away from each other.
Right. Right. Which, you know, technically is pretty cool.
That's I think it sounds quite good.
Oh, well, thank you.
But I'll give you some notes on it.
Sounds good. I'll gladly take them.
Maybe we can auto-tune the podcast.
I can do that for you. Might be funny. Or maybe auto-tune like 5 minutes of it. That'd be more like it.
I would be content with under 30 seconds of it.
Well, do you guys know the thing about autotune? So it was really...
Yeah, I know a little bit about it, but yeah, I'm happy to hear the story.
It was designed as a seismic software, kind of like, some Hunt for Red October submarine stuff to monitor seismic stuff underneath the ocean.
Does it cry home to mama when it gets confused?
No, but it should.
Does it sound like whales humping or some kind of seismic anomaly?
Does it sound like whales humping or some sort of seismic anomaly?
Well, we just got Sean Connery on our podcast, at ladies and gentlemen.
How are you, bastards, today? When I was on the set of The Hunt for Red October, auto-tune hadn't been invented yet. So it's this 5 megabyte file. I crap you not, you download it, and it does all that stuff you hear and all that great pop music that I hate.
Now, you use auto-tune in your music.
Yes, but it's done ironically.
Okay. It is a style. It is a stylistic choice.
We know we can't sing for shit. We feed off that.
Right.
Well, I think there's a so that's an interesting kind of question. So, like, what when is it and when isn't it okay?
I think actually pretty much just like I just said, it's okay if you know you can't sing and you're being ironic, and it's not okay almost any other application.
Yeah, if you're gonna professionally produce music, you should be able to perform.
Yeah, professionally. It's really sad when I watch YouTube videos of these people in the studio and they can't really sing, but then they put auto-tune on it and it sounds great. Well, at least to most people. And then when you see these people performing live, it's like terrible. People pay like $50 to go see Britney Spears or whoever live, and if they even are singing and not lip syncing, it's all flat or sharp. So it's created a lot of popular artists who can't really sing, unfortunately.
Well, that's an interesting thing too, because I think popular artistry has changed quite a bit, like musically. I think musically, actually, it hasn't changed that much, because it does kind of there are still
same four chords, man.
Yep, absolutely. But I think one very interesting thing is that now all pop musicians have to also look good too.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Bob Dylans.
Yeah.
Janis Joplin's. That's my example, usually.
Oh, you don't think she's hot, man?
I think there's a roughness there that I'm less into.
Okay. That's a very diplomatic way of putting it.
More of a Katy Perry fan, Ellen.
It's not about me today, Brendan. It's about...
You're right. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, for the record, I think Janis Joplin was hot, and we'll leave it at that.
That's a thing.
That's a thing. It could not be a thing, but it's a thing to me.
Cool. Well, for music kind of production and distribution, I heard you mentioned SoundCloud. I'm a big fan of SoundCloud for just finding stuff. It's very easy to go kind of on a tear, just like it is for YouTube. I think they have that same kind of, like, you can go down a rabbit hole of listening to just stuff that sounds kind of new and interesting. And so that's a really cool system.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's the only system, and the fact that it's based out of Denmark makes it even cooler, if you ask me.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. It was originally pioneered and brought online in Denmark. Those Danes, man, there's only 5 million of them, but they know how to make a music website, that's for sure. So I think that's, yeah, that the foremost tool. It used to be everybody had their stuff up on MySpace, but, you know, MySpace isn't a thing anymore. So
Fox Space.
Yeah. Face Space, whatever they used to call it. My Book of Faces.
Stock Face. Stock Space.
But, SoundCloud, yeah, you guys put your stuff up on SoundCloud, don't you?
Actually, no, we're going, what is it? How do we do it? So our hosting is through, the fine folks at Amazon Web Services, and then the publishing of everything goes through iTunes, actually.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
So we basically work for Apple. But we also use Google to record, so, you know, we're just in the pocket of big business.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't wait till Steve Wozniak, like, releases a harsh review of you guys just because you're affiliated with Apple. Bringing more publicity.
We're still waiting on those checks, guys.
Right. I think we've discussed it on, like, every show. It's like our cash flow. Kind of on the negative end still, so yeah, I don't know what we got to do, but we got to keep trying for it.
Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, you should do a Kickstarter, and you should put all your backlog of all your stuff on SoundCloud. That way, people can access it, A, and then B, download it if they want. And all it will do is just further your goals, which is, of course, to be heard.
Yeah, I'll look into that. I actually have not heard of any podcasts that host on SoundCloud, but I'm sure it's possible. There's no reason it wouldn't work. So I'll give a peek. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
So music is not the only thing that you are knowledgeable about.
That's not true. I'm knowledgeable about a few other things. One of those things being healthcare. I work in for a corporation that owns a lot of nursing homes in the state of California, and I've worked for them for 12 years, and I do a lot of quality control for them, basically make sure, you know, the nurses aren't killing the patients, things like that. Just some kind of IT stuff and just general records management. So I have a lot of insight on the healthcare industry, as you can imagine, specifically geriatrics. And that's extensive, you know, and I have a few thoughts, of course, on, you know, there's healthcare is big in the news lately, and of course, Obamacare.
Sure.
Things. How do you guys feel about that?
I feel like it is not a good solution, but it's a solution, which is better than the previous setup, which is no solution.
Okay.
I think we should have single payer healthcare, but that didn't happen. So,
how about you, Alan?
No, I think I fall in the same same camp as Brandon on that one. I've always had I've had the luxury, thankfully, of having healthcare through work pretty much nonstop, whether it was my work or my wife's or previous to that, my parents. So I understand that I'm not, you know, I'm kind of spoiled in that kind of way, but I think that, from a social justice point of view, it's kind of sad that, there's any other way of looking at it.
What health insurance do you have? What company, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm through Kaiser.
Ah, me too, man.
And me!
They're great, you know, when you, like, break a bone all the time like I do, they're just like, oh, here's some stuff for your broken bone. like, we're going to take care of your broken bone. And that's pretty much been my entire experience with them. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think, thankfully, I've never had to have any kind of ongoing care through anybody. I mean, the longest that I had any kind of thing that went on, it was like a month or a month and a half, because I had, you know, really messed up my knee or whatever. But from anecdotally, I mean, like from like my family's experience, I've known people that have gone through much more chronic and longer kind of term things, and I've not had a problem specifically. Although I have a branch of my family that doesn't do Kaiser, and they have, it's all whatever you've experienced, and you form that opinion and it sticks. And so, right. I have a relative who, like, you know, if it even comes close to being mentioned, the first thing they rail against is Kaiser and how they weren't taken care of that one time. And, you know, I think it's almost like a religious fervor to talk about healthcare. I mean, it's a similar amount of thought. I mean, except you're much more directly, I think, paying for it, whereas you can hold religious beliefs and not pay for things. I think it's odd when.
Well, thing about Kaiser is that it depends on where you go, because there are certain facilities that are, you know, some of the worst hospitals in the country, and then there's some that are the best. Just like with any, you know, each individual entity has its own set of doctors, and to a certain extent, you know, a different way of doing things.
Is there really that little consistency around there?
Kaiser is reasonably consistent, but there are certain facilities, like, I consistently hear bad things about, like, Oakland, for example, Kaiser Oakland. And then there's some other, I forget the name, but there's another one somewhere in Central California. You know, I hear those things, you know, from people I work with, who have given negative, accounts of being taken care of there. But, you know, the overall thing is basically, everything is more expensive now, with Obamacare. A lot of people's premiums have gone up, yeah, and people pay with Kaiser too. And basically, all the only difference is that poor people have to buy healthcare now for $300 a month, where they didn't have to before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing a lot of people to be very angry for one thing, and then poor for another. So all we've really changed, what I've noticed, is that you have to buy healthcare, A, and then B, nobody can deny you for a pre-existing condition, which is probably the only thing good that's come out of it. If you have cancer, and, you know, people will deny you for that in the past, and they can still do that now, but I believe it takes effect next year where they can't do that anymore.
Right.
So... Yeah, and then there's a whole argument of socialized versus privatized medicine too,
mm-hmm.
which both have their pros and cons. Anybody have any experience with socialized medicine or hear any stories about?
No.
Well, a good friend of ours, Cordelia, who's actually been on the podcast in the past. I mean, she lives in Norway.
Oh, awesome!
And they're. I only know their experience with healthcare from the, their kind of family leave kind of action. Right. I mean, so she got essentially a year, that she was able to take off after her son was born. And not only is it set up as a year, she was able to give some of that to her husband so he could take off time as well in conjunction or opposite time. And it's, I mean, that kind of thing is just unheard of in the US, right?
Yeah, man, they're a model of how healthcare should work. I had the good fortune to travel to Denmark last summer.
So not just music production websites.
Yeah, also healthcare and
travel.
Do they have dams there?
Dams? And
oh. What am I thinking of, Alan? They're fjords.
Fjords, bro.
Right. I think you're thinking, are you thinking Holland? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking of.
Damming the Amstel River, hence Amsterdam.
That's the one.
Yes, that's the one.
But anyway, sorry, going back to Denmark.
Oh, just not much. Just they have their shit together. That's all I was going to say. yeah, they people there, they pay 65% income tax, and I asked everybody if they had a problem with that, and nobody did. It's amazing. Your housing.
That mindset is striking. I think the
that's un-American.
I'm not very American. You didn't Denmark.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Well, I just saw an article today that listed the top five happiest countries in the world, and they're all in that area of the world.
Denmark.
It's like it might still be. It's like all the countries that where you pay lots of taxes but you get lots of services and you have your health care taken care of, people are happy. It's shocking, I know.
You know why the main reason they're happy there, though, is because they did a survey and people there have no expectations with regards to life whatsoever. So they're never disappointed. Yeah, it's
that's
true, man.
That's our problem. We, like, hope for shit.
Yeah, we expect too much here. And there they're like, oh, I'm having dinner today? That's cool. No, it's like... You guys got it down, you know? Oh, let's just eat a bunch of food and then go to bed because it's 4 degrees here. Whatever.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, I mean, a lot of the both the good things and bad things that came along with the fully American capitalized system are definitely, you know, in play, right? And I think that's, where a lot of the just the oddness comes out. I mean, there's just it's set up to have inequalities and imbalances and you know, some amount of polarization about how things are set up, and the, you know, I mean, the it's not just distribution of wealth, it's really distribution of, like, everything just kind of comes down to a very weird set of expectations in the US. And I'm wondering what it takes to kind of make that better. And I think you know, one of the things is definitely the internet, as we said earlier, still a thing, but you know, exactly how that works has become a lot muddier recently.
Yeah, getting people I mean, there's a lot more materialism in this country, for one thing, than there are a lot of places. And people, just the way the corporations work, they have more control here, and they're more advertising direct to consumers. Like, again, going back to healthcare, this is the only country in the world where pharmaceutical companies can advertise directly to consumers.
Right.
They don't have that anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot of based on consumption and wanting and expecting things, kind of like you're saying, that makes life in this country kind of difficult for some people. And it's not set up like that everywhere.
Yeah. And I think the thing that that gets me about that isn't that it's differently set up in other places, and it, you know, there's no way it could be that way here. My thing with it is exactly what we were joking about, right? You know, it's un-American. It's almost, because it's from a different place, because we didn't build it first, there's this kind of disdain for it.
Yeah. That I see. Why don't you privatize healthcare? We got guns.
If any place should have, like, public health care, it's the country that has all the guns.
Yeah. Powerful argument, my friend.
What the argument that I don't understand is that people say the government is too inept to run health care.
I agree.
But they run health care for old people, and they run health care for the military.
Ah.
But for everyone else, we can all just fuck off.
So let me talk about Medicare, then, because you seem to think that they run that well. Okay, I have a lot of experience with Medicare, and basically what I'll tell you right now is that they overpay for everything.
Right.
You notice hospitals are really quick to jump for Medicare patients, nursing facilities, same thing. They pay, I would say, on average about 34% more than what is necessary to pay back and make a profit for all their services. So that's actually draining their money really quick for no reason, quicker than it normally would be. And there are certain kinds of things that are that they don't do very well. Pretty much if you go to the hospital and you have a problem, you're pretty much good. But there's other things, ancillary things like vision and dental, not so much. And expensive drugs, like if you have cancer and you need some chemo, you're going to end up paying out of pocket for a lot of that stuff. So while it does work for the majority of people, it's poorly run, like I said, financially, and it doesn't cover a lot of things that a lot of people need. I mean, cancer rates are rising. So that's my 2 cents on Medicare, and that's just from knowing, you know, where I work, what we get paid by them, and what we provide costs.
Yeah, that's extremely insightful. I mean, there's not a I think everyone has kind of some story about you know, I mean the joke for like workers' comp and like what counts and things like that. And I think there's this and Medicare, there are lots of ways to that like the system can be like abused and otherwise kind of messed with in ways that don't seem like abuse. And I think that's I mean, do you think that's a legislation thing? Do you think that's a governance thing?
Definitely, because they decide how much they're going to pay. We don't decide that. That's the way health insurance works. For when they pay for services, they decide what they're going to pay the doctor, the hospital, you know, the pharmacy for whatever you need. The pharmacy or the provider doesn't necessarily set that cost. There might be a few small like niches where they do, but generally speaking, that is the case. So, yeah, I mean, a doctor will say, you know, his visit costs $120 or something, and Medicare will give him $180. Or there might be another insurance company that will be like, well, we don't think it costs that much. Here's $95. So it's kind of how it works. It's spread out by what they want to pay.
That seems like an odd system.
You have no idea.
That seems like it should not be a thing.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing. I concur. But
it reminds me of the like when we had our friend Ted on, and he was talking, or maybe I don't know if we talked about it on the show specifically, but just the tax code and how like ridiculously complex it is, and I think. There is some aspect of that that it's unnecessarily complex, for things to be set up. And I disagree with the like full on libertarian view that it should be completely readable by absolutely everybody, because I think some things are actually complex. But I disagree also with that the state that it's complex enough.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be something that makes more sense to more people, because that's the only way people can decide whether it works or not. Otherwise, it's just like a level of like information fatigue. Like, I can't deal with it, so I'm not going to deal with it or even think about it until it starts actually affecting me. And by then, it's too late.
Yeah.
And or too expensive.
Yeah, both, pretty much.
Well, I think both with the tax code and with the way the medical system is set up, they're both designed so complex so that the people who have money to pay people to figure that shit out can take advantage of that. Like, that's how loopholes exist. If something's simple, there's not going to be a loophole for you to exploit.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, to counteract that, I think one of the things that have been kind of put forth or as a way to kind of build that is to build like a bill of rights, and I've heard it called that, in a couple circles, because I mean, that's what, you know, is built around, you know, the rights that the you know, we have, like the Bill of Rights to the Constitution, that kind of thing. It's like, these things are what you should use foundationally. You should always look back to these when you're creating kind of laws or otherwise working with the system. And do you see that as something that could at least help? I mean, that's, I'm just looking for ways that that are simple and yet like kind of still foundational enough to work.
That could definitely help. I think what really needs to happen is I just need to just tear the whole thing down and rebuild. Personally, you know, I think that's the only thing that's going to really truly fix a lot of the problems that we have, both, you know, as you're saying, in the tax code and just the complexity of the system, as well as healthcare.
This is the point where I would normally say, write your congressman. No, that's just pissing into the wind at this point.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm happy talking about this stuff, but I don't feel like writing. I mean, whatever.
No, I mean, you can write a congressman, but will they be able to read?
Exactly. Oh. And if they can, they won't do anything. That's kind of what I'm saying. So there was something else I wanted to talk about, as long as I'm a guest here, and that is conspiracy theories.
Well, that's a great segue, I think, into the conspiracy theories, the black hole that is writing one's congressman. I mean, I think there is something to be said for being able to influence politics by even just writing a letter. But you know, I also think that there's a lot more going on than just, you know, you or I writing letters. So what where are we going with conspiracy theories?
I mean, just kind of, I don't know, I've been hearing some kind of funny ones lately. And basically, I just, before we start, like, what are your both opinions on conspiracy theories? Do you think some of them exist and are true? Or do you think just a bunch of horseshit?
Oh, I certainly think some of them are true. One of my favorite things that I've read recently, it was actually related to, you know, the government shutdown and all that kind of hoopla and garbage. And I want to say it was written by the guy that does the webcomic XKCD. That's right? XCKD? The internet is gonna.
It'll be in the show notes.
Rise up and destroy me, but I'll find the link. But it was the hey, and then they listed just like everybody, right? Hey, Illuminati, the five Jew bankers, the you know, it goes through like this entire laundry list of people that are supposedly running the government, and then it says at the end, the government's broke. Would you get off your ass and fix it? Thanks. And I just thought it was great. You know, it's that kind of thing. I mean, if there were all of these things in control of government, maybe it wouldn't have broken so quickly. So I do think that there are some conspiracies that are true. And of course, off the top of my head, I can't think of any. Although I'm sure it's not necessarily that there are conspiracies. I think there are a lot of cover-ups of things.
Yeah. I go the opposite way. If it's a cover-up conspiracy, I'm less likely to believe it because people can't keep their mouth shut at all. Look at Facebook. It's a free service where you can blast your entire life to the world.
Well, here's the thing. They can if they think death is going to result. For example, from the Freemasons, nobody will talk about what goes on there because they have a thing that they sign. They're like, if you talk about Freemasonry, we will kill you. So... in that case, people can keep their mouth shut. But other than that, you're pretty much...
Generally, I believe that people can't keep their mouth shut, and I believe in the stupidity of humanity. Any conspiracy that's super complex, I don't buy it.
I love your opinion. Yeah, super complex conspiracies don't really make sense. I agree. What about... what's a classic one? How about, like, JFK?
Sure. I think that's an interesting one because there's a couple different ways to to kind of rationalize how and everything else. And I think if it were a, I kind of agree with Brendan, like if it were a you know, a very big conspiracy, something about it would have come out. But I think maybe it wasn't that big. Maybe it was just a very small group, and you know, given time and everything, how it was built up, it's possible that that was orchestrated and just kept quiet.
Well, that's an interesting one because there's so many different theories at the same time.
Yeah. Right?
Some of them, like, I don't think LBJ had JFK assassinated.
No. If anybody was the military, someone representing the military-industrial complex because he was trying to stop the war and all that stuff.
Sure.
They're like, no.
Yeah, I could see a corporation putting a hit on somebody like that.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. That's actually pretty simple. Yeah, maybe getting some, you know, kind of...
Do you believe in the magic bullet?
No, dude. If they had bullets that good, we would have won. Like, we would have spent 1 year in Iraq tops.
Yeah, if and this kind of comes through, you know, what we were talking about last week with Skylar about like experience with firearms and having nerds kind of involved in this. Yes. There, you know, if you stop and think and actually apply what, you know, you might have learned about actual firearms, it makes zero sense.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I've been using firearms since I was 6 years old, and yeah, like you're saying, it makes no sense to me how there could be some sort of magical bullet. It's like that stupid movie with Angelina Jolie and Morgan Freeman where they curved bullets.
Yeah. Wanted, yes.
I was so dumb.
So I 100% agree that that was a ridiculous movie. It's still kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, well, I didn't say it wasn't fun to watch. I just said it was dumb.
Yeah.
What's another classic one? How about...
Moon landing hoax?
Moon landing hoax.
I don't understand how people don't... I don't understand.
You know, I was reading about this... It was either Buzz. I think it was Buzz Aldrin. Somebody was saying that the moon landing was a hoax, and he went up and punched him in the face.
We talked about it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. So we had on Dr. Gabe Young, who works for and at the NASA facilities at Ames, but not directly for NASA. And he's worked at the Visitor Center. And one of the common things that come up are people that are like, oh, well, you know, this is fake, right? And, you know, they have a party line for how they say it without completely insulting the person. But yeah, we talked about how Buzz Aldrin was being harangued by a moon landing denier to the point where he, you know, punches him. And we linked it. And it's it's extensive. Like, you can tell it's over the course of him, like, walking from, like, where he was, like, I don't know if it was, like, where he was working to where he was going to lunch or whatever, but it was, like, over, you know, a very long period of time, and it was, it was documented by everyone that was following him and everything else to the point where the police said that, he was being harassed and acted in self-defense, and there were no charges pressed.
Nice. Nice. Well, you know, I was reading something that people alleged that both Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong said that they saw UFOs on the moon.
Hmm.
I don't know about that one, but that is a thing that someone said.
So what do you think about UFOs?
Well, I'll put it this way. If I was an alien and I came across Earth, I would watch it for pure entertainment, if nothing else, man. I'd be watching the shit out of Earth. I would just be like, oh, man.
This is the best channel ever.
Pretty much. So, do I think UFOs exist? Yeah, I think they do. And I think probably just the odds are the amount of plants in the universe that there is intelligent life, and they're probably find us amusing to watch at the very least. You know, I don't know if I believe in all kinds of conspiracies about, you know, like abductions and things like that, but you know, there's definitely stuff that could point in that direction that they've, you know, been around, I think.
Yeah, and I think I think I agree with you from a numbers point of view, but from a and also from a like an interaction level point of view, right? I mean, I think any spacefaring race is has got to be a little more kind of like intelligent about how they do things.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the whole idea of the Federation, right?
Yeah. Cool thing about yeah that is like you know once we get our shit together then maybe we'll meet those people you know.
I like that. So the only aliens we've been visited by are ones that actually take the Prime Directive seriously.
I'm good with that.
I'm good with that too.
That's a thing.
There was some guy that worked at Area 51 who said that all the aliens, the classic gray aliens that everybody knows are actually mm-hmm. humans from 60,000 years in the future who traveled back in time because they're dying to perform experiments on us, and they came through like basically kind of a portal, which basically to me sounds like a Stargate episode. It doesn't really sound like a real thing.
That's basically the entire series of Fringe.
Yeah.
I like that idea better. I like the idea of a time traveling race trying to save itself. You know, I think that makes that certainly makes for good drama.
Maybe Al Gore's from the future is coming back like, stop fucking up the planet.
Maybe if they should make a movie about this race from the future, and I think definitely like Daniel Day-Lewis should play like the main character. He'll just like get abducted by aliens and then pretend to be an alien from live amongst them for like 3 years for the role.
Maybe Gary Oldman's an alien.
Gary Oldman too, maybe. Yeah, any of those character actors. Christian Bale would do a good job, probably.
We just got to get Nolan to direct, and everything will work out.
Yeah, with that classic sweet bum 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 bum. Wow. That's what that'll make any movie good.
Good soundtrack is important too.
And wow, we're coming right back to music production again.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end the show. You know,
that's a great full circle there. Not to talk a little too meta about our own show.
No, because we would never do that.
Professionalism on many levels, ladies and gentlemen.
So many levels. Next level professionalism.
So, Garen, thank you so much for being on the show. We absolutely have to have you back. We definitely have to talk kind of again about the show a little bit. But before we let you go, are there ways that people can find you? Is there something we can link in the show notes so we can
Up? I was actually gonna link when you put this up to my hip hop groups page and tell everybody to check it out too. So I'm gonna link you. And you can link me if you want, just on just my Facebook would be fine.
Cool. Right on. We'll throw that in.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate
we'll talk to the internet people on our staff and get that together.
Yeah. People talk to my people.
Can you talk to that guy, Alan? I don't really like him.
The hold time is horrible when I call, you know. It's like,
it just keeps being a busy signal.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I always get voicemail when I call a cell phone. It's really annoying. Really annoying.
Well, yeah, thank you for coming on the show, Garen. It was a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you both for having me. You both make me laugh, and glad to be here.
Yeah. I guess until next time, Alan.
Sounds good. And we're going to have another guest next week. Is that the way to go, or should we maybe not tease that one again for safety?
No, we're going to tease it, and they're going to show up. If not, I've got another backup in the wings.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep this train a-rolling. You know, the Not A Thing podcast is great. If you're a fan of the podcast, check us out on all of our various social media and web outlets and stuff, and let us know if you'd like to be a guest. Let us know. You can be as cool as Garen, but maybe not quite as cool. Thank you again, Garen, for being on the show, and Brennan, I'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Namaste.